how does a mom create a space that's comfortable for your child to share their feelings with their mom? That's a good question. I've raised two sons and two daughters. One of the first things I would say, especially as a woman who has other women in my life that I look to for counsel or encouragement, is be really careful not to overshare. Be really careful when you're talking about a concern about how your child might be pushing you away, or a bad friend choice that your son is making, or a girl your child is showing interest in, and you're not too sure about how you feel about this girl. Be really careful that you're not really gossiping behind the back of your child, because it's easy to try to process your own feelings by talking through them. And yes, if you're married, talk to your spouse about it. Get a man's perspective if you're the mother of a son, because we don't think the way men think. But if you're single, if you're a single mom, you need godly mentors that you can bounce off ideas and listen to. I know a lot of single moms, there's a whole section in Moms Raising Sons for single moms. And they say, I don't have anyone at night when I tuck my kids in the bed to sit down and talk over those things that I'm going through or thinking. But the Moms Raising Sons to Be Men book helps me process what we're going through and keeps me moving. So how do you create a climate for conversation? If your children are little, put your phone down. Girlfriend, put your phone down, as we're all listening to podcasts on our phone. But the reality is, if they see us looking at our phone while they're trying to show us something that they've drawn or that they've done, we're telling them, you're not as important to me as what's in my hand right here. And I value what's in my hand right here more than I value your accomplishment, more than I value having a conversation with you. I don't want to stop scrolling all the influencers and looking at the really cute outfits or the cute home decor. You would think I was the best cook on planet Earth at how many recipes I save. I don't cook anything. My husband does all the cooking. But it's like, oh, that looks good. Oh, that looks fun. Oh, look at it. You could do that in the air fryer. And I'm saving them all, but I don't make them. My husband does all the cooking these days. But it's so easy. There's like a dopamine rush that we get by just engaging. And I'll be honest, when you're a stay-at-home mom, it's lonely. I get it. It's lonely. I speak at a lot of MOPS, and I remember going to a MOPS and speaking, and a woman came up to me afterwards and she said, I'm so lonely. And my husband said to me the other day, I don't know how you can be lonely. You have four people with you all day long. he don't get it. So for me, when I was a stay-at-home mom, and I quit corporate America to be a stay-at-home mom, and that was a big culture shift for me. You know, you get every 6 months, someone gives you a review and a raise and an atta girl, and you know you're doing well, and here we go. And all of a sudden, you're a mom in the same, you know, sweatpants for 5 days, and you've got spit up down your back, and you just feel super frumpy. You got weight from that last baby that you put on, and you kind of get lost in. I used to watch TV talk shows. That was where, you know, we didn't have, this was in the olden days before the World Wide Web, back in the 1900s. So I was always watching all those talk shows just to have some sort of interaction, so I didn't feel like I was just a woman alone with a bunch of children. And so now I think it's more social media. Now I think it's more interacting. Moms are talking to each other. And that's, I'm not saying that it's wrong to connect that way, as long as you're guarding your heart and mind and not gossiping and all of those things. But your child is your first priority, and they need to know that. So whatever you're doing, be able to put your phone down and be able to just look at them, be able to talk to them, because you're building a sense of community with them from a young age, so that when they're the teenager holding a phone in their hand, and there's a whole nother topic about how old they should be before you even give them a phone, because porn and all of the things that happen, just be really wise. Get a godly mentor in your life to help you discern when is the right time to let your child have a phone. And if so, it doesn't have to have social media on it. It can have all the blocks. So it can call you when they need to get picked up from the skating rink, but they don't need to be able to get on and look at what all of their friends are wearing or doing. Anyway, it's a whole nother topic.
Exactly.
But if you've created an environment where they know they're valued, when it's their turn to put the phone down, when it's their turn to listen to you, you've already said, hey, interaction face-to-face is way more valuable than FaceTime. FaceTime on the phone is not what I want from you. I want your face. I want you in my kitchen, sitting at my table, eating some milk and cookies, and let's talk about life. But in Moms Raising Sons to Be Men, I do talk about how when our sons are little, look them in the eye, have them talk to you, have them repeat back to you. What did mommy tell you? What did I ask you not to do? What's the consequence if you did do that thing? Okay, are we understanding? Are we clear? Because what we do is this. We're on the phone. We're going, knock it off. I'm not kidding. Don't make me get right. up. One more time. If I count to three, you're in trouble. And that's not communication. That's just barking orders at them, stopping. And that's a mentor, Molly, got in my face, said, get down on your knee, get in their eye, tell them what you want them to know, ask them to repeat it, tell them the consequence if they don't obey, and then ask them to repeat that, make sure that it's understood. I'm babysitting my almost three-year-old granddaughter right now. My daughter's in Hawaii, and I've got four of her kids with me, and my youngest granddaughter, I'm reinteracting, doing those things with her. She triggered last night because I gave her the wrong toothpaste. After she asked for that toothpaste. And I'm like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. This is a lot of work. But in reality, when they get to be young men, adolescents, men speak shoulder to shoulder, not face to face. If you see men at a coffee shop, they're usually sitting side by side drinking their coffee or playing basketball together or doing some project together. And as they're doing that, they're talking. And when my son Brandon was learning to drive, we sat side by side, and we live up a canyon, a 40-minute drive up a treacherous winding road, and I'm teaching an adolescent son to drive. And I remember one day specifically, we were driving up the canyon. And he asked me, why can't I listen to secular music? You let Meredith listen to secular music. That's his big sister. Why can't I? Now, if you know the backstory, and it's in Moms Raising Sons to Be Men, Brandon had had severe epilepsy as a child, and God had used that season in his life. He became this amazing musician. He didn't want to play sports. He was medicated, but he became this incredible musician. And so I said to Brandon, you and I both know that your heart's desire is to grow up and be a worship pastor, to use music for Christ, and God has given you that desire. But the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And if we let you feast on secular music at this age, that's the music you're going to write. That's what's going to come out of you. And you aren't even wise enough right now to discern what Satan would like to steal, kill, and destroy. And that is your heart for writing worship music and for leading people to worship the Lord. So while you're this age and not able to discern, we're going to come alongside of you and we're going to help you with that. When you're a certain age, it will be on you to discern what comes into your heart. So Brandon will say later, he got real quiet. He said, I wanted to be mad at that answer. I wanted to say, no, I want to listen to what I want to listen to. But he said, I also knew she was right. And I also knew that they were helping me guard my heart. Brandon grew up, he went to Cal Baptist University. He studied biblical studies and music. He toured with some amazing Christian bands. And then one day he was like, I want to be in the local church. And now he's a worship pastor. He's married. He has four kids. He makes a living writing and playing worship music and leading others into the presence of God through worship. And he gets to support his family. He even has medical benefits as a musician. Who gets that? Praise Jesus. And he will tell you, looking back at that conversation that we had, was something he needed to hear, because he didn't know. God says, I know the plans I have for you, to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope in the future. The hope in the future that Satan wanted to steal from him, he's living it now. So having those intelligent conversations shoulder to shoulder while they're doing something, you know, and he was like on a canyon road, there's a cliff on one side. I'm like, oh boy, I hope this kid don't get upset while we're driving. But having those types of conversations as a man, I see the man you want to be. I see the man you hope to be. I want to guide you towards your purpose and passion, because I see the passion God's put in your heart, and I'm here to help you get there.
Mm-hmm. Wow.